I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast is sponsored by Tone Tech Luthier Supplies, your absolute online solution to all guitar parts and upgrades, and their new Tone Up range of high-quality guitar hardware from Sever Innovations, and introducing their fantastic new line of stainless steel replacement guitar saddles featuring innovative appointments to improve tone, increase sustain, string response, attack, and dynamics. The Tone Up replacement saddles, springs, intonation screws, and saddle height adjustment screws are precision crafted from high quality stainless steel. For more information and to purchase your own new set of Tone Up saddles, or indeed any guitar upgrades or spares that you can think of, visit tonetech.co.uk or follow links in the description of this podcast. This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast is sponsored by Orange Amplifiers and their Tremlord 30 guitar amp. A very orange take on a classic, cool 1950s amplifier. It's a 30-watt 112 all-valve guitar combo with 2-foot switchable valve-driven tremolo speeds and 2-spring reverb tank. Everything you need to deliver high-quality, vintage-inspired, boutique-esque tones in the near-indestructible chassis of an Orange Amplifier. Harking back to tremolos made famous in the 50s, the 12AX7 valve-powered tremolo oozes versatility and depth. With crystal clear clarity and buckets of headroom, the Orange Tremolo 30 is the latest in Orange's run of meticulously designed pin drop perfect amplifiers. Visit orangeamps.com/tremlord for a detailed overview, sound samples, and links to dealers worldwide. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Brandon, joined this week by Jay Cross.
That's my name.
And Mark Packham.
It just happens once, actually 3 times.
And for this month, it's October and Guitar Nerds are doing a whole month of accessory-like giveaways.
I feel like you're the only one who knows that October is giveaway month.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Because you
so.
Kept telling us and we well, kept forgetting. Okay. Well, and then basically we kind of haven't really. Well, you say, oh, it's giveaway month.
It is.
And then, like, nothing happens except for that clicky
There's
wheel thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I'll be announcing some more stuff to conclude giveaway month on.
Right,
on
okay. This. Give it away month.
What happened for me was you said it's giveaway month and I said, can I win? You said no. And then I just forgot to care.
Right, forget to care.
I just forgot to
you
care.
You forgot to give a care.
Can I also point out, please, I've got a question.
Yeah.
My hand's up. Can I ask a question,
yes.
please? You didn't tell anybody who won that they won last week. Mm. So whilst you were away
on holiday,
and loads of people started like,
I was away for 2 days.
Just yeah. saying like, oh, apparently I won something. Joe's not getting back to me. I'm like, lucky you.
I got
lucky
hold of
you,
them all.
He still texted me.
I got hold of them all the other day and they've all sent emails, except one actually. I'm sure one Eargasm winner, and I was kind of waiting for the fifth one to come in before I give all the details to Eargasm. So that one person is delaying everyone else, but I'll send out a reminder. We've got all the people who have replied for the capos anyway. Last week, we announced that we were doing a giveaway with Gravity Plectrums. We're giving three winners a pack of 5 Guitar Nerds 1.5mm standard Gravity Picks.
That's
which is
15
pretty cool.
whole picks.
Yeah, I know. And they were like $6 or $7 to make up each. So, because they're the lovely unpolished
edges and everything, so it's kind of the premium Gravity Pick. Very cool Gravity Picks, you should check them out. So anyway, we've got to pick our three winners of these sets of five. So as before, I've got my my spinny wheel.
I'm not gonna film it this time because I filmed it last week
and you didn't upload it.
I didn't upload. I couldn't be bothered.
I know.
It's not that exciting.
I couldn't be bothered. I did it in case of controversy.
Well, yeah.
And there was no controversy, so I decided I didn't need to upload it. Now I'm thinking that if I don't film it and don't upload
I'm going to lie.
Maybe there will be some controversy and it will just be exciting.
Well, here's the thing. If I knew you weren't going to film it, I wouldn't have set this up legitimately this week. I would have just picked the three people I like the best.
Right, okay. Well, isn't that like me, Mark, and Joe?
You didn't enter.
No, you're Joe. Yeah, the other one, Matt.
Yeah, no, the people he likes the best, Joe.
Yeah. Just me. No, anyway, we're going to select these names now, and we've got the spinning wheel. I'm afraid there'll be no sound effects this week.
What?
Yeah, well, because I was telling you earlier, Mark Packham, that...
Oh, your computer's broken. Yeah, I was thinking, well, Matt's not here, so then none of this matters. And as normal when you talk to me, I just switched off.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, we're going to pick the winners anyway.
So wait, can I...
We've got to do the noise.
Oh, yeah, how can we do this?
Okay, so, wait. So I haven't pressed the button yet. I'm pressing the button now. Okay, it's slowing. It's coming to a stop. The wheel is coming to a stop. It's still going. And...
Budget pedal chap.
You have won one set. We got two more winners. Mark is supposed to be making a note of the winners, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So budget pedal chap, you have won the first set of five gravity plectrums.
Wait, sorry, we didn't give a round of applause.
Yeah, that's
so
well done. Oh, well done, budget pedal chap. Okay, next one's up.
Wait, is this going now?
It's going now. The wheel is spinning.
Free music for YouTube.
Come on, it's slowing down.
I muted it.
It's all right. Okay. Was Hagues. W-O-Z, and then Hagues, like the place. Wonderful. That's two people.
Oh, I'm fully into this. Oh no.
Okay, and the last one, the last winner.
Wait, you got to wait for the wheel sound.
Here we are.
Sound.
It's on. The wheel is going round.
Click, 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 click.
I just wanted you to do that instead. Play that sound instead for the wheel.
The last winner is Chad Hathcock. He has won the last set. Well done, Chad. You've won a lovely set of legends. So there it is. Those were the three winners.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So whilst I let the clicky wheel sound noise overrun, and then it went to the next video, which was like cartoon sounds 100% best.
Okay, good.
And but I
only want the 100%.
I skipped
best.
Over that, and then I've ended up on dinosaur sounds.
Just play some.
Rate how realistic they sound.
Well, let's go back in the time machine.
Wait,
and think
how would
about...
you know if they're realistic? Oh, that's pretty realistic. Isn't
that
it?
Sounds like a dinosaur to me.
Pretty good.
Also, it's not telling you what dinosaur.
Oh no, that's the game. You've got a Dilopodon.
Velopodon?
Veloposaurus.
Veloposaurus. Brantodon.
This is going on for ages.
Well, you can just leave that running anyway.
You just leave it running.
No click track for us. Just dinosaur sounds through the whole podcast.
Yeah, it's fine. If Get Offset have got cat noises, we can have, you know, 60 Cycle Hum have a click track.
Yeah.
We can have dinosaur sounds.
Rate how realistic they sound. This video has had 1.2 million views. I tell you what, we're bugging up the wrong tree trying to do guitar stuff. Just upload some dinosaur sounds that have got no information about what dinosaur they're supposed to be.
Dinosaur sounds.
Fantastic.
Oh, okay. It does give you a rundown of the first ones were duck bills,
right?
Then large carnivores. I would have probably
right.
probably gone with that last because that's cool. Then large herbivores, then large / medium carnivores, then medium carnivores. I'm not sure how that differs from large / medium carnivores. Then raptors with an exclamation mark.
Everyone's favourites.
The last sound
the
is
best ones.
some kind of small dinosaur.
Huh. But do you remember?
They've created
when...
these sounds, right? They're not. It's not that like they've done field recording. So how have they? why have they just put some kind of small dinosaur?
They might be. It might be a field recording. Do you remember? Yeah. Who knows? Do you remember when? Anyway, everyone knows what sound raptors make. Alan, remember Jurassic Park 3 when the raptor can talk? And it talks to...
I don't remember that at all.
In Jurassic Park 3...
Which one's that? Is that the one with Vince Vaughn, or is that The Lost World?
Oh, you're thinking of Congo.
No, I'm thinking of Jurassic Park 3, the one that has Sam Neill in it again, because he was in the first and the third.
Oh, yeah.
So in the third one, they're in a plane, and Sam looks over, and there's a
Sam, first name basis.
He looks over, and there's a Velociraptor there.
He's not going to say Mr. O'Neill.
And the Velociraptor goes... Alan, that
no, it doesn't.
100.
That doesn't happen.
Okay, listeners, go on YouTube, go check it out. Type Jurassic Park 3 Velociraptor talks, and you will find that is exactly what happened.
I reckon that is a meme that someone
that is
meme.
Absolutely I'm part of a film.
I'm absolutely convinced you're thinking about Congo, where that big ape goes.
I assure
Amy,
you,
Amy happy or whatever it is.
I assure you that is what happened. Anyway. Anyway, we've
what
still
is
got...
it? What is it we do on this?
Look, we've got some more giveaways to do.
Oh,
we
more
should
giveaways.
Try and get through this.
What?
So this week we're teaming up with Couch Guitar Straps to give two winners a lovely pink luggage guitar strap. We've got them here on the table. They are really
Mark
nice.
Mark just hit himself in the head with it.
A pink
thinking
sort
that it wasn't
going to
hurt.
Leather style material. They're called luggage straps. They're very nice. Oh, that is a good... That is a great sound. That is very ASMR. I mean, I'm into that. That's good. Now, the pink luggage strap was chosen by us, obviously, you know, as it's pink.
We love luggage.
It's vegan. It's super cool. And you can check out Couch Straps and their awesome range of flesh-free straps and accessories at couchguitarstraps.com. So all you have to do to enter to win is head over to our Facebook page, or Facebook group, rather, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum, and comment on the pinned post for this week's giveaway, telling me what strap you currently use on your favourite guitar. In addition, Eargasm are also giving all Guitar Nerds listeners a 10% discount on products on the Eargasm website. Just head over to eargasmearplugs.com and use the code TGN10 at the checkout. It's worth noting that currently the podcast is sponsored by Tone Tech Luthier Supplies, and they're also offering Guitar Nerds listeners 15% off anything in their online shop. So you can head over to tonetechluthiersupplies.co.uk and use the code 15nerds at the checkout for a discount on any guitar upgrade you can think of. Now,
I hope you cut that bit out of the Patreon episode.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Week. No, this is discounts for people. It's not ads, they're discounts. Now,
that sounds an awful lot like
an ad.
Whatever. Now, next week is the last podcast for October.
Oh, only October.
For October.
Oh, that's a shame.
And
I thought we were
released
out
from this hell that we've found ourselves in for 6 years.
It's Groundhog Day, where just every week you keep coming round to my house.
I'm sorry, I do. Anyway, it's also our Halloween special. So we're going to be dedicating an entire episode to our favourite weird, blood-spattered, pointy and demon-esque guitars. Are you excited about that? Yes, it's a Halloween special.
Sorry, I'm busy and or ill that week.
No, it's a Halloween special, but also we'll be running the final giveaway in our giveaway month, and it will be a
severed head.
It will be a double header of giveaways, in fact. We'll be giving
two
away
severed heads.
Okay, we'll be giving away... This is... Shush, because this is cool. This is the good bit.
Okay.
So next week...
I feel like that was the good bit. I got to
next
be honest.
Next week, we're going to be giving away one Thorpe FX Heavy Water and one Celestion Neo 250 Copperback 12-inch guitar speaker exclusively on our Patreon. Now, the giveaway doesn't start until next week, and we're going to do it on the show. We're literally going to select and announce the winner on air. All patrons from all tiers will be in with a chance to win one of those two things.
For legal reasons, we must say, you're not required to sign up to Patreon to be able to win, but the competition is only available for people that are signed up to Patreon.
It's quite true. Legally, we do.
I don't understand the difference,
like,
so I'm staying out of it.
So I'm
staying out of
Look,
it.
Look, it's a giveaway on Patreon. That's all we need to all we need to know. But that'll be happening next week with two very, very awesome prizes. Let's actually talk about some guitar stuff.
No.
Yes.
Can we
Mark,
just play some animal noises again?
Yeah,
and then
you can
guess
some
what they
animal
are.
Noises
can
whilst
I plug
we talk
my
about...
headphones into my
no,
laptop?
No, absolutely
just...
not.
Oh,
no,
okay.
The volumes will be all over the place. It'll be...
No, my headphones. So I don't have to listen to you. I can just listen to this.
I see. Mark, you bought a new guitar this week.
Well, actually, I was going to talk about two things guitar related that I did this week. One actually links into Patreon in that I... subscribe to the Get Offset Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I should put my money where my mouth is and actually, you know, we talk about getting people to sign up to our Patreon all the time. And I was like, do you know what? I've really enjoyed listening to Get Offset in the last few
weeks. Really good podcast. So, did you sign up to get a song made?
No, unfortunately, I'm not quite that rich.
Wait, what is the tier for that? It's like a
$25, something like that. Yeah. No, you know, I just went in at the $1 tier. Just chucked it in. I thought, you know, I support these people. Oh, no, you know, I'm into it. I support them. Give them a dollar. Cost me... basically cost me nothing. So what I'm saying...
Oh, you know, look at me. I'm such a philanthropist. Yeah, here's a dollar. $12 a year. There you go. Bloody lovely.
I mean, all I'm saying is, you know, a critical mass, if enough people put in a dollar, everyone's a winner. Everyone's having a great time.
That's the truth.
So yeah, I actually, signed up to a guitar Patreon, which I thought was charitable. If you haven't listened to that podcast, you should go and do it. It's my favourite guitar podcast out there.
What do you get at the dollar tier?
Nothing.
Oh.
Just get the satisfaction of, like...
That is good satisfaction.
That might be... I might be mistaken. You might get an extra thing. I don't know. I just put the money in there.
I thought that it was very funny that a couple of weeks ago, Aaron from the Gear Slum posted up saying something about, oh, yeah, I was really happy to hear Mark say, oh, you know... let's try and move towards this kind of crowdfunding instead of... And he was like, yeah, that's great. It's wicked. He isn't subscribed to this.
Oh, nice.
He isn't subscribed to this, does he?
He doesn't want to pay for the quality content that we're putting out. This is like audiobook level of podcasting.
We're very
audible.
Are
we on Audible yet, Joe?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Absolutely.
Can you... Because I looked at Audible and it was really expensive.
Yeah.
And you don't get, like...
No, you don't get
it. No, but they've got that advert with the orangutans.
What's that?
Are you thinking of Congo again?
No, that bit in Jurassic Park 3 where they're listening to Audible.
What are you talking about?
So anyway, so I did that this week, which was exciting because, yeah, like I said, it's my first guitar Patreon that I've subscribed to, which is cool. Happy to give them some money for creating an excellent podcast.
When you say some money, you mean literally
$1.
$1.
Money. But again, if everyone does it, happy days. But the main thing I did this week was I bought a new guitar. After talking about something for a long time, I've finally actually done it. Talked about Reverend guitars for a long time. Probably, what, 2-3 years we've been banging on about them?
Yeah, you're a big fan.
I finally got around to buying one. So I bought an original version, Charger 290.
So what defines it as an original version?
So the difference is it's on all the controls are on the scratch plate.
Right.
Slightly different shape scratch plate as well.
Because it's a tele scratch plate now.
Yes, tele scratch plate now.
Well, tele control.
Almost tele scratch plate and tele control plate. The original ones don't have that. They have all the controls are on this kind of longer.
I see. So it's a more sort of angled offset style.
Exactly that.
Right.
And do you know what? I really like it. So it's the Charger 290 is two P90s.
Yep.
It's a stop tail piece with a Tunamatic bridge.
Oh, that's all the best bits.
Roasted maple neck.
Very nice.
Yeah. Locking tuners. And it's about the best value for money guitar I can imagine, really.
What finish did you get?
Sunburst.
Right, okay. With what plate?
Tall? White.
Oh, white, not mint.
No, it's whatever. It's some version of white.
Right, okay.
To be honest, I didn't have any choice. I bought it at Facebook Marketplace, do you know what I mean? The home of great deals.
They're really good, the Chargers.
Sure.
I think they're...
It took me a sec to realise what you said that and then immediately regretted making that joke, didn't you?
The Charger 290s.
I thought people
look...
might take it seriously.
The Charger 290s look really cool. They're actually, of all the Reverends, I think they're maybe the one of the least oddball out of their range. I'm never 100% keen on sort of the blending. I've for ages found it hard to put my finger on what it is, but it's the blending of offset with like a bound sort of flat body. Like offset should be all rounded.
I know what you mean.
The
only reason that it's flat is that it's edge bound on the top.
Yeah, that's what I mean. A lot of Reverends are.
They pretty much all are, I think.
Yeah, and that coupled with the offset shape that they go for, I'm not 100% into.
For me it just works. I really like the body shape. I mean, the thing for me is the quality of the build is fantastic. Just the neck shape, everything. Feels fantastic. The only thing I would say is I did put it up against my Les Paul Junior, and the P90s in there sound a little bit thin.
Really?
Is it low output? Older body?
Couldn't tell you, actually. I don't know.
Do you know what the...
It's bolt on maple neck. So, I mean, that's going to go some way to making it sound thinner than, you know, a mahogany glued neck guitar.
Do you know what the pickups are made of?
No, couldn't tell you. To be honest, I didn't do that much research. I just saw it and then I bought it.
Well, yeah, if they're like Alnico 5s or 2s.
Yeah. And yeah, so that would be one thing that I potentially would change down the line is switch out...
the body material.
No. Switch out the P90s for maybe, you know, bare knuckles or something similar.
Carina.
Oh, it's Carina body, is it? Okay.
I was gonna hazard a guess at Carina because I seem to remember a lot of their guitars coming in those sorts of woods.
But yeah, I'm just kind of messing around with it, really. I mean, my other thing is that, you know, do I need a guitar with two pickups? Do I need a neck pickup as well? So I've got it for now. I'm really enjoying it, and I'll report back.
Yes.
Doesn't say what the pickups are. Doesn't have. Just looking on the website, it doesn't have.
They're just P90s, aren't they? They don't outsource.
No, it doesn't say.
Just says two P90s.
9A5 bridge, Alnico 5.
There you go.
9A5, which is probably wise. Alnico 5, A5. And a. So they are Alnico 5s.
Okay, cool. So there should be, you know, plenty of lows and plenty of treble response.
The guitar plays really nicely. I was around at your house a couple of days ago, picked it up, had a little. It's set up fantastically.
Yeah. They sound. I mean, I did the setup on that, so happy days. It sounds good, but for me, I prefer the sound of my junior. So do I make some changes on the pickups, or what do I do about that?
Interesting. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what you do with that guitar.
Do you know
after so long, have you sort of pining after a Reverend of some,
I know,
of some
I know.
Form?
No, and Carina.
Careening after a Reverend of some.
So do you know what? Like, this keeps happening in the... I bought the Baja Telly and I just keep finding myself sat playing that Les Paul Junior. It's really disappointing.
Les Paul Junior's great.
The Baja Telly looks fantastic, obviously plays great, sounds really good, but that Les Paul Junior, just something about it. You know, I've had it for nearly 17 years now.
So what year
really?
Was the Junior?
Yeah.
Did you
buy it in 2002?
It's 2003 actually, so yeah, next year will be 17 years.
Crikey.
And... you know, it's just something about having, you know, nitro finish and, you know, being old. It just sounds great.
Yeah.
It's just perfectly bedded in. I'm kind of like, the neck is exactly what I want. So I just struggle with other guitars now. And the Reverend I am enjoying. But we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts.
There's nothing like a Les Paul Junior. They're so much fun and they're so simple. It's such a cut down, wonderful. And
also, I've kind of also got a hankering after an SG with P90s.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah, for the first time ever. It's because I've been watching those Corey Brannan videos. Like, there's like, obviously, if I could get like a special with two P90s.
You wouldn't get an SG Junior?
An old special would be good with two P90s. But there is a cheaper option because, like, if you're going to get a special, you want to probably get an old one. But there is a really good alternative.
What was the specials? Remind me. The specials are like what?
Two P90s.
Right.
Well, okay, Matt had. No. So Matt had a.
That is also a SG special.
No, yeah. Because his was a 61. Oh, no. Matt's current. He's right. Okay, I thought you meant because Matty had a Les Paul.
Right.
Junior.
Yeah.
That was a 61 Les Paul Junior, so it was an SG.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I think it was a 61.
Oh, I understand. But I didn't know he ever owned that. That's awesome.
It was either 61 or it was 63.
I think SG Juniors.
It wasn't 62.
Are the coolest looking things. They're some of the coolest guitars.
Yeah.
The thing about the term SG special is that it's quite confusing because it traditionally
has
meant.
I'm not 100%
sure on what it is. Traditionally, it's meant two P90s in an SG. Like an SG Junior,
right?
But with another pickup,
right? I see.
But in recent years, I would say in the last 20 or so years, it's come to mean the faded guitar with no binding. You know, Les Paul Studio version of the SG. But there is there is a modern SG Special, which is there's two. In fact, there's still the faded ones, and then there's also you can get a custom shop SG Special. And in fact, I think it's even just production. Yes, like £1,200 SG Gibson USA SG Special, which is a 2P90 wraparound tailpiece guitar. But to get a nice one of those, you need to get an old one.
Right.
But there is a nice compromise, which is a guitar called the SG Classic, which came out, I think the most recent one is probably like 2004, something like that, which is essentially an SG standard, so stop tailpiece and tunematic, but with two P90s. And they look really good because they're full binding and everything, like an SG standard, but two P90s.
That sounds great. Really sort of regal and...
Yeah, totally. And I kind of want one of those.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And but they don't come up very much.
What was that German company doing Gibson-style guitars that
Maybach.
We saw?
Maybach. Yeah, they do it. SG Special,
a lovely,
really nice.
Yeah, lovely sort of special and a junior that they did in really sort of tasteful lacquer cracked relicking.
When you say full binding, you just mean on the neck,
yeah, right? yeah, like on neck binding with trapezoid inlays rather than like right. something yeah, like. Yeah.
An, I'm a sucker for an SG with a proper like block inlays.
Well,
with
yeah,
trapezoid inlays.
So a traditional SG Special or SG Junior would well depends what you're talking about, but a lot of the time we'll have binding but dots.
Yeah,
and then an SG Special, like a faded one, will have nothing. It will be no binding and dots.
Yeah.
Whereas the SG Classic, I believe, I need to actually confirm that, Gibson SG Classic, I believe, has binding and... Oh, no, it is dots. So it's binding and dots, but the difference right. between that and a Special is that it's tune-o-matic bridge rather than a wraparound.
That's cool. Yeah, which is kind of what you want.
But yeah, I've got kind of a hankering after one of those.
I used to have an SG standard.
Did you?
I had an SG standard
did
for.
You?
Yeah,
you
I had
owned
an
SG.
I had an SG standard for not very long.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, now, because how do you feel about SGs?
I've never been able to get on with them.
We've never really spoke about SGs very much on this podcast, but I absolutely love them. And of course, Tim, my guitarist, you know. Plays just them. But.
I mean, to be honest with you, it probably would be fine for me the way that I sort of primarily play guitar nowadays, right. which is sat at home in the living room, not plugged in.
I see.
And like, that is fine, but I've never been able to deal with the fact that they nosedive.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in fairness, the one that I had was...
I bet you wear it low enough for that to matter about it hitting the ground and
well,
stuff.
Well, yeah, totally, yeah. totally. Although, you know, I'm...
The higher yeah. you wear it, the less it sort of... It doesn't... They yeah, don't the, even really
the bigger
dive
loser
on me because
you look.
They
the just... Big, when you've got your guitar up high, you look like a massive loser.
When they try to neck massive dive, they get stuck loser. Under my armpit, which means they don't neck dive, so it kind of works
stuck
for me.
Under your armpit? Yeah, does that yeah, mean cause... all your guitars, like... smell
well no because I'm a nice smelling
they've got,
person
they've got that like huge relic patch right there
I spend it's... a lot of money on nice aftershaves and
okay
and spa treatments
so I just put SG Classic into Google to see if there was anything available in the UK right now and there isn't there I think there were I'm pretty sure there's only 1 year of SG Classic which is 2004 I think
right
but what did come up is a load of Godan Summit Classic SG, which is kind of Godan's take on an SG, Les Paul Junior, which I've not really ever seen before. I don't know a lot about Godan.
Jay, you're making a
Jay's
face.
Jay's not into it.
No. I was making a face at what you were doing. Oh, you look like you were kind of bobbing back and forward.
I can see Mark's screen in the reflection of your French doors.
Right, okay.
No, Mark, I'm not into that. That's
quite like
it's
it.
Sort
no,
of like
it.
A Telecaster with one SG horn.
Actually, that's a really good description. It's Les Paul Junior and a Tele kind of smashed together.
Yeah. No, it is quite nice. No,
I'm into that.
I'm going to like it. What sort of price point are they coming in at?
New, I think they are £679.
I mean, that is very good price. And you know, you're getting good quality with Godan as well. They're fantastic instruments.
I assume that's going to be Canadian made.
Canadian, I believe it's Canadian.
No, maybe not at that price. You're right. It's probably
speaking.
But anyway, I had an SG for a while. Yeah. I had an SG for a while, and I sold it very quickly because
why?
It didn't nose dive. Right. But when I bought it, it had EMG 8185s in there. So
I don't remember this guitar at all.
Yeah. So
did it have a camouflage finish as well?
It did. No. It was a cherry. It was a cherry SG. Had EMG 8185s in it, which came out immediately. and I sold them, made like £100 on them, which was fantastic. And then kept the guitar for a little while and sold that for, I can't remember, I got a decent amount for it. I probably doubled my money on it, including the pickups. It was good. And then, I can't remember. I sold it to buy something else. I can't remember what. But didn't have it for very long. It was in that wild period where I just like was just spending loads of money on.
Said loads and loads of guitars.
Yeah, I just had loads of guitars, was just... It was towards the end of my tenure at GAC, and I was like, buying guitars is wicked, and like I could do it quite cheaply because I work at this shop. And there we go.
I've got somewhere, I think at a friend's house at the moment, a cream Bitzer jazz bass with EMGs in it that I bought from GAC for £70. And yeah, I could take those pickups up and out and sort of make the money back on the...
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
But I could also put them in another bass.
That's the thing, is those kind of active pickups. The guitars are never... Whenever people put those sort like kind of active pickups in a, you know, traditionally...
When you retrofit them into something,
The guitars never sell for decent money because people... Yeah. Lots of the time, people don't want EMGs in a Strat or in a Les Paul or in an SG. So it's good flipping to be made there if that's what you want to do.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose built to create rich, beautiful vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ebelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman and The Backshop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musicians Friends, AMS, Parts Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.com.
Quickly, I just did a quick search for SGs. I actually searched for SG standards, but I'm now looking at all SGs. The SG special, like the modern faded or, you know, the cheap one, basically, the
brown
Les Paul
or
studio.
Red.
But they can be faded or they can be gloss as well, depending on the year. They are such good value for money secondhand.
Really?
What are they?
How much are they?
£499?
Yeah.
What?
£499.
Show me what they are exactly.
What? So like this one. Again, sorry listeners that you can't see this, but you, unlike Joe Branton, you probably know what Gibson SG Special looks like.
Those ones with the big plate.
Big plate, uncover pickups, no binding and dots. Dots rather than blocks. Like £499. I mean, there's a good example up here of like £525.
That is very good.
If you were thinking like American made guitar, you know, bear in mind they're American made, they're glued neck, you know, there's all pretty much all the same work that goes into an SG standard, but obviously there's no binding. Compare that, I mean, an American Strat probably is going to be what, £700-800 second hand? You know, it just seems crazy that they're like £500.
SGs have become, they're just not that popular at the moment. They're not very fashionable.
Kind of, you say that, but like, and you're probably right. They're probably not that fashionable. But Tim, the guitarist in my band, plays left-handed SG Junior, which are hard enough to find as it is. But the one he's currently playing, he got 3 or 4 years ago, and Gibson put them out for like $599. He got his then, and then recently he's been like, oh, I really need to get another junior, because he's had standards and things before, but he needed another junior, and he was like, yeah, I'll get another junior. Gibson do that model now only in cherry, not in black. As far as I can tell, it's the same, and it's £1,300
Well, that's the one that I was pointing out. I don't think they're quite, I don't know about the left-handed one, but I think the junior with the single P90 is like £1,099.
Yeah, they've definitely shot up. People realised they were cool. But speaking of the SG specials, you know, I mean, people, you know, Gluon necks are probably overrated because, you know...
Oh, yeah. Is this a plug for your shop?
Yeah, because I got an old 1976 Greco SG300 in. I sent you a picture of this.
Anyway,
The bolt-on version of the SG made by Greco in the mid 70s.
I don't want to do down any of your stock, but one of my pet peeves is 70s Gibson copies that have a bolt-on neck.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just not for me. And because, you know, see the other things that you've got where, you know, they've got like they've taken a 58 or whatever and reproduced it exactly. There's just something really that grinds my gears about the bolt-on.
It was weird. Greco did it only for the first few years of their production. I assume they wanted to do an extreme budget.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the difference, isn't it? That guitar, well, how much have you got that guitar up for?
£399.
Yeah, compared to the, you know, the glued neck Les Pauls that are up for like £1,200 or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I obviously I know where they did it, but it's not for me.
No, fair.
So, speaking about
guitars that are kind of in and out of fashion at the moment, I was thinking about something this week. So a friend of mine who lives in Brighton, he basically discovered a bunch of photos that he took in the mid 90s through to kind of like mid 2000s.
Right.
You know, obviously a period of bands playing in Brighton. And that's okay. Like a period of time that's kind of, you know, there was obviously no internet, and there's not much in the way of catalogued photos of bands from that period of time. And so he's been putting up all these photos, and there's some really great photos up there of some really cool bands playing in like small venues. Like, for example, he's got The Offspring playing in the garage in London in 1994. That's what, like 600 capacity. Yeah, yeah. Dexter Holland's still got his braids and stuff like that. And, you know, there's some really NoFX playing the same venue. But the thing that really got me is basically every time you see a picture of a punk band from the 90s, they're playing a Rickenbacker 4003.
Oh, really? Like, I thought you were going to say Ibanez.
No, I thought
you were going to say Les Paul.
No, well, I mean, the bass, obviously not the bass players, but that's the thing that I...
Oh, sorry, 4000. For some reason, I got it in my head you said 330.
No, sorry. Basically, every...
I was like, I'm really confused. Yeah, why are these punk bands playing hollow body guitars?
No, basically, every photo of these bands from that era are playing 4003s. Yeah. And I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I saw someone playing a 4003 live.
Yeah, I guess they're definitely getting
prohibitively expensive as
well. They're also just difficult to get. You know, yes. That's the other thing is, and if you can find one in a like I was in GAC the other week, and they had two, I think, in the shop. One was one of the Walnuts.
Yeah.
And there was a 4000. I was in Guitar in Camden as well a couple of weeks ago, and they had a 4003S, which is the sort of the cheaper.
Yeah, it doesn't have binding.
It's the Walnut finish. So they seem to be a bit more popular. But like, when was the last time you saw a blue or even a black? Like, you sometimes the jet glow. Yeah. You sometimes see maple glow. But like, I haven't seen a like interesting coloured 4003 for a long time.
I think they just don't do them anymore, do they?
I don't know. They always have that stand.
There was the baby blue, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, Blue Boy.
That was what it was called. Yeah.
As you know, I've kind of got a secret want for a 330. Yeah. We've talked about this before. Mm. And someone put up a Montezuma Brown one the other day.
What is like, Montezuma Brown?
It's like a coffee burst, right, almost. So it's
that's
kind
a
of
chocolate place, isn't it?
Yeah, Montezuma's. Not anymore. I think they've gone out of business.
No. I bought chocolate from them literally two days ago.
Oh, it's the other one that's gone out of business. Anyway, Montezuma Brown
Pizza
is like...
Pizza Express.
Yeah, it's Pizza Express. Yeah. Montezuma Brown is yellow in the middle to brown on the edges.
Oh, it's a sunburst.
Yeah, sunburst, but it looks really good.
Right.
And you just never see them.
Oh,
and
that is kind of like a coffee...
Yeah, it's like a coffee burst, basically.
Oh, very nice.
And the reason you don't see them is because absolutely no one wanted them at the time. So I don't think they actually sold that many of them. But they're super cool. And they don't go for any more money. But you get yourself a nice, unique 330 or 360.
I just thought it was really funny how, you know, an instrument that can become so kind of unanimous with a period of time just kind of...
Well, I mean, I guess that's the case for a lot of things that aren't Fender and Gibson, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
People were playing PRS in 2001.
Well, yeah, sure.
I think sort of genres and music scenes define a lot sort of what people play as well. And if a guitar sort of doesn't fit with an aesthetic, I mean, I have no idea how a 4003 fits with a punk aesthetic.
Well, but Lemmy.
I guess
Motorhead were just a punk band, just like heavy.
I guess you're right. I just mean, you know, they're heavy and cumbersome, like, and pretty awkward to play with the big guard. They're not suited to sort of like slinging low and smashing with a plectrum, really, sort of in comparison to like a P bass.
What about Lemmy?
I agree. Lemmy's the only example you can think of, though.
No, the fella from Against Me.
No, yeah, it's fine.
Heather Tabor from the Teen Idols.
That's true. I can name Rickenbacker players as well.
From
other genres.
Paul McCartney. Noted punk Paul McCartney.
it brings me on to another point, and mentioning Tim again, my guitarist, he was having this custom set of pickups made for him by, there's this new pickup company that's definitely worth checking out, called Tree Tone Pickups, they're kind of an offshoot of a company that build guitars, and they've started making their own pickup, so they're very much in the early doors, but it would appear that the two fellas who are working there are quite into sort of, you know, weird math bands, and so they approached Tim and asked if they could make him a signature set of pickups. So he's had a P90 pickup made in a humbucker housing in a sort of just a plain chrome finish so that he can fit it, have a P90 basically in an SG standard, as SG juniors are so hard to get hold of, but They were making him that and going through with him in detail the sort of tones and sounds that he was after, and, you know, showing him samples and talking about the different things they can do depending on what the wirings are. And they offer that service for anyone. Like, it's fine, they are marketing his pickup as a Tim Walters P90 or whatever, but it's nonetheless something that anyone can have done with them, which is a really cool kind of way to go about like building your pickup. I thought it was nice rather than just picking something off the shelf. And then they came to me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, would you like
I said, we definitely do not want to build you something.
Sorry, we can't get through to Tim.
He said Joe from Polymath. Yeah, it is. It's Tim there.
he said to get in touch with you about payment.
Well, they showed me a pickup and said, do you want to play this? We can send you this pickup and you can play this. But it was a double stacked. It was kind of like a double stacked jazz bass pickup, like a humbucker sized thing. And I was like, well, I don't have anything that would fit into. And also, I'm not really into that type of pickup. I'm not going to cut any of my basses up for that, so, you know,
yeah,
I'm sure that there will be someone out there. But we were talking and I was kind of a bit like, I don't know who, I'm not sure who you think's gonna sort of use this, because it's not a size.
Yeah,
you can't drop this into anything. It's a bit of a risk for anyone. And we were talking about it, and I started thinking about all the other bands that I play with and the other bands in the scene. I was like, damn, I like 80% of the bands I can think of play jazz basses,
right?
And I'm pretty much playing a jazz at the moment. So I was like, why don't I talk to all of them, and we come up with a spec and an idea for like a universal jazz pickup that's suited to kind of math rock. So that's what they're doing now, is building. Well, they've built me a set of really like mid focused, mid punchy,
honky,
very honky sort of mix of Alnico 2 and Alnico 5. Tons of mid focus with the volume accentuated on the bridge pickup.
When are you going to get an active preamp with a mid boost fit into all of your?
I feel like I'm nearly there.
Cut mid boost.
Well, I'm knocking down the door of 40, and I think it's round the corner, isn't it? Really, I'm soon to be sort of on. I'm thinking more and more about status bases every day.
Nice,
like graphite headless status bases, and I think that's definitely, you know, that's probably where I'm going to end up.
I saw a bass today and I actually did think of you. It was a headless, Who makes the jack? Is that Hona? That's Hona, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was not like the cricket bat style. It was
I know it. Yeah,
it's the jack one that, is the one with wings, isn't it?
It's the one that looks like a guitar but doesn't have a head.
Yeah. It was that, but it was like Hot Rod Red. And I was like, this is the most 80s thing. Yeah. Can imagine Joe Brandon would love this.
Well, you can pick up those cheap, those Washburn Status co-op basses that they made.
So
it was the Status bass, but made by Washburn. Yeah. So it was just, you know, whatever normal wood materials rather than graphite or anything fancy, and no LEDs or any of that stuff. But it was still the headless Status
bass. Yeah.
You can pick them up for like around sort of 500 quid. Like, I mean, that's right there. It's pretty cool.
Can you run them off your pedal board? Off your power supply? Off your one spot? Presumably you need an 18 volt, you know, or 2 9 volt inputs to run those.
Joe's going
to
end up
like eight D's or something like that.
D's?
Oh, the batteries.
No, the batteries. Oh,
right. Joe's going to end up
running. There's no truss rod because the neck is just a load of... You just got this chassis for a load of batteries.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, but it's carbon fiber, so it doesn't need a truss rod. So what we've done with the extra space is we've just filled it with D batteries the lights.
When you see a Tesla at the supermarket, and it's people putting their groceries in where the engine would be.
Yeah.
So, we've done that, but it's batteries. And now there's, you know, 24 volt.
I'm into this idea.
You're going to end up one day with a base that needs at least two batteries, aren't you?
Awful.
Two to power the LEDs, two to power the preamp.
Well, you say that you get 18 volt as a standard on all the Sire bases, you know, the Marcus Miller.
That's what I'm saying. Sire you're going to take it the next step.
Oh, I see.
You're going to the 36 volt preamp.
Yeah, probably. That is probably my future. Anyway, you know what next weekend is? Next Sunday?
It's the Liggs.
It is Liggs, the London International Guitar Show. Everyone's favourite sort of sawdust on the floor guitar show. It's a proper sort of like just a load of tables.
Sawdust on the floor.
Yeah, you know, that's what you say about something that's earthy, isn't it? And then you say sawdust on the floor.
Are you trying to convince people not to go? Is that what you're doing?
It's a lovely thing to go to because it's sort of like a guitar show, but without all the faff. It's like a proper... You go there and you check out.
I tell you what, mate, it's a lot of faff for me because you can't drive, so I'm having to drive you there.
Yes, you have very kindly agreed to drive me and the 20 guitars that I'm taking.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to drive you there. I'm going to help you load in, and then I'm going to go and sit in the cafeteria with my iPad.
Mark will be there. Mark's there with Reverb.
I'm going to stay away from him as well. I'm going to load up with that new Katie Sackhoff. From Battlestar Galactica. She's in a new show.
Right.
It's basically Battlestar Galactica again. I'm going to watch that. And if anyone comes near me and tries to speak to me, I'm going to be really upset.
Okay. I'll stay away. I'll be too busy on the Harlequin Guitar Club stand selling all the incredible, cool, weird Japanese guitars that I'm going to be bringing along.
People will be able to like talk to you and that. You won't be like running around with a microphone or like trying to do content.
Oh,
you're actually there for a good reason.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It will be fantastic. Also, one of my favourite guitars that we had in sold and then got refunded. So it came back. So I'm actually going to have that I'm actually going to have that one on display, which is quite nice, and definitely wasn't an effort at all for me to sort out. Anyway, we should.
The customer's always right, Joe.
Absolutely are. Anyway, we should talk about some nudes. Yes. So first up on the news, Mark.
Hello,
Mark. It's been a week for Electro Harmonix.
Well, I thought you were going to say is it's been a week where Electro Harmonix haven't released anything, so they must then have a flurry of releases. So, yeah, a few new things from Electro Harmonix. I think the most notable of the bunch, although I'm sure Jay is about to disagree, I think the most notable of the bunch is the Ram's Head reissue. So, Electro Harmonix have reissued the 1973 version 2 Ram's Head Big Muff Pie, along with, you know, all the other big muffs they've re-released in the last few years. The Ram's Head has been a very, very sought after version. So
what defines a Ram's Head from a normal Big Muff? Because there are so many variants, I struggled to keep track.
Yes, me too. What I know about this one, and actually I listened to a few different kind of sound samples of the different reissues of the Big Muffs before we started recording.
It's supposed to be clearer, right? The Ram's Head. Yeah. More fidelity from the, or more separation to the strings.
Exactly that. And sustain is the big thing. And what you find is, to me, it doesn't really sound like a Big Muff.
Right.
That's what I would say, is this doesn't sound like, you know, kind of Smashing Pumpkins, kind of, you know, fuzz. I would say this is very much a kind of drive pedal that's got a lot of sustain to it. It doesn't particularly help that the Electro-Harmonix demo, the guy is like, he's using an Ibanez, and he's doing kind of like arpeggios and like single note stuff.
With a Big Muff.
Big Muff?
Yeah. But okay. The pedal does seem to lend itself well to that, because it isn't fuzzy. It's like, it's kind of, like you say, it's clear and more sustain-y than it is kind of like mess up your sound.
Right. I'm definitely into this new run of like really minimal pedals, like minimal looking pedals, because this is just the...
Well, I mean, this is just based off the original one. It's the same font. And yeah, it looks like a... As with all of them, you know, they've kept the kind of theme of the original pedal and they've put it into their nano housing. Excuse me.
You okay?
Yeah, sorry. Windy pops. Street price, US street price, $99. don't know what that's going to translate to over here. But, I mean, basically now you could have every single flavor of Big Muff for about, I don't know, under $1,000.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah,
that
you could, really you could cool. have them all. And they all sound really good. And, you know, as we know, Electro-Harmonix have kind of got these as close to the originals as they can for the money. So if you've been crying out for the Ram's Head reissue, it now exists.
Oh, that is very cool indeed. Now, Jay Cross, Electro-Harmonix actually also released your favourite thing this week.
They did, yeah. So Electro-Harmonix, I don't know if you've seen this, but they have released a new Big Muff. It's the new Ram's Head Big Muff.
Wait, trying to steal my thunder.
No, let's, you know, now that we've sort of gone past all of the boring stuff, we can actually talk about something interesting, which is Electro-Harmonix have released a power supply unit, a 8-way power supply. Now, I am struggling to think whether they have done anything like this in the past. I think there was kind of a generic Electro-Harmonix power supply. I think they just did like a 9-volt supply.
Right.
Is it in... Have I got the website open? I do have the website open. I'm just going to have a quick look on
it. Well, you get a free Electro-Harmonix 9-volt with most of their pedals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, maybe I'm just thinking of the 9-volt.
Yeah.
the one with Mike Matthews on it. No. So anyway, they have released a very small... So this is remarkably small, actually. It's about the size of a Moore pedal.
Right.
So, you know, really, really small chassis. A lot smaller than even most of the EHX pedals themselves. It's got 8 outputs, 7 9 volts and a single 18, all of which appear to have a little light on there, so you can see, you know, make sure they're working in that. The 18 volt output will allow a current draw of 150 milliamps, and the 9 volts will allow you to run 250. So it's more than enough.
That's pretty good. 250 is pretty good. It's not like, you know, you probably could have done with a couple of 400s on there, really, for the...
Well, yes, but Electro-Harmonix don't have any pedals that
of
run
course,
that much power.
And now that the Ram's Head Big Muff is out, you know, you're going to have, you know, 8 Big Muffs plugged in.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, why do you need all that power?
I was looking earlier this week, actually. Do you know how many different types of Big Muff there are?
I don't.
I was looking at it earlier this week. There are 20 different Big Muffs.
Wow.
Different versions of the Big Muff. Currently in the current catalogue.
I wonder what it is, including discontinued.
Oh, goodness knows. Goodness knows.
I'm just having a look now. Does that include like the Metal Muff and stuff like
that? Yeah. Right, not only does it include the Metal Muff, it also includes, you know, the Micro Metal Muff and the Micro Metal Muff Junior or whatever.
Nano Metal Muff
and all of those. Yes. So does it include
the Bass Big Muff?
Yes. Right. And the Bass Big Muff Deluxe. So yes, I appreciate that I'm being, you know, fairly liberal with the description of a Big Muff, but I still think it's pretty impressive that they've got that many on there, and, you know, are all still good. Yes. So the only thing that I'm not sure about this is the wording that they use is quite interesting, in so far as they say, now where is it? They don't use the word isolated, which is the thing that, oh yes, yeah, individually regulated.
Yeah.
So what they say is each of the eight outputs is individually regulated. They don't use the word isolated. So I don't know what the difference is there. Maybe it is the same thing. And maybe we're just too used to people using the word isolated when what they do mean is individually regulated. So if you do know the difference, please let me know, because it's something that I'm interested in.
Great price, though.
How much are they? I didn't see it, actually, Joe. I was too busy looking at all of the other cool things in this press release. $80.
$80.
That's, not bad.
That is pretty damn good.
Not
that's very good
bloody
indeed.
Bad.
Now, I don't, you know, it's not £80 is for me, or $8 is the thing that kind of makes this compete, because, you know, otherwise it's definitely a relatively average power supply. Its size is definitely favorable, but then we've already had this from the Isobrick Mini and things like that, and that's certainly offering you know an awful lot of juice.
Yeah, but
in
they're,
a very
they're
small
about
housing.
£130
exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're not.
Well,
they're
not. 119 maybe.
Yeah, somewhere around there. A little bit less than that, so
not,
according to the
not,
internet.
Not a massive amount of difference, but certainly $79 for something that's going to power most sort of small pedal boards is really good.
It all comes down to isolation and stuff, you know.
Of course.
Are those outputs isolated?
But then again, at the same time, if you're not running anything very juicy, then maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you've just got a load of electronics pedals.
If you've got a bunch of big muffs, it probably doesn't matter whether they're regulated or not, you know.
Those MXR Isobricks still kind of have it for me, I think, is the best thing on the market is at the moment you can get. Certainly the Strymon ones are very good, but when you take price into consideration alongside, I think MXR are absolutely dominating at the moment. Now there was a third thing that Electroharmonix have brought out. They've done an accessory, they've done a pedal. So the third thing they've done, Mark Packham, is a
hello. It's a power amp.
It
is indeed.
Now,
so
they've had a couple of power amps.
Yeah,
in
what
the
were
past.
They called? There was the Caliber
22 caliber,
22 caliber,
and 44 magnum.
44 magnum. So that was 22 watts and 44 watts. What do you think the next one will be?
I would have really enjoyed guessing, but I've just opened up the page, so I know what it is.
Okay, fine. So the next obvious step, 22 watts. What was it? 44 watts.
22 caliber, 44 magnum.
It's caliber 22.
It's 22 caliber.
44 magnum.
Okay.
Yeah.
They swap round.
What would you think would be the next logical step? You guys have both seen it.
357 Magnum. I'm trying to name other
guns.
Bazooka
sizes. Bazooka. Oh, no. Even better than that, because Rambo's popular at the moment. It would be like bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow?
Well, they've actually gone the other way, and they've released the 5mm, which is a compact 2.5 watt power amp designed to run with any 8 or 16 ohm speaker. So it's super low output. As with the other power amps, there's two voicings, there's bright or normal, and just a volume control. And the idea behind it, I think, is that what they've kind of done is made a drive pedal. In a way.
What?
Because the idea, I think, is that you just crank it all the time. So in the description on the press release, it says, great for playing at home or recording, and provides break up at relatively low volumes. But I'd imagine, you know, if you're plugging that into something, you know, like a 412 or something like that, it's just going to be breaking up all the time. So, I don't know. It's a bit of a strange product.
Yeah.
Can I put out something really interesting about it?
See,
go on.
Its current draw is 500 milliamps, so it wouldn't run on the power supply that they've just released.
Is it 500 milliamps or 300 milliamps?
Well, either way,
it won't work on the power supply. Fine. So if you're building your board around the new power supply, you can't get the new power amp.
Right. 500.
But interesting, you know, again, you know, we've talked about these as a kind of solution for people that want a portable rig. This seems like a different way of doing it, slightly different flavor to the 22 or the 44 that they've already released.
Yeah, very cool. A very cool product. Now, PRS, my least favorite guitar company, probably. Have released.
He's going after the sponsors.
A guitar that I actually like.
Yeah. Was it Silver Sky SE?
No, it's not. Oh, okay. Right, okay. PRS have announced the return of their SE1. Now, this is a guitar that they actually released a little over a decade ago. It is their single cut. What, did anyone know the name of their single cut body shape?
Yeah, the single
245.
Well,
oh, okay.
No, but anyway, it's their sort of single cut body shape with a single P90 in the bridge. Oh, as we were talking about earlier, very Les Paul Junior sort of style guitar, and everything's brilliant about it. It comes in either TV yellow, admittedly a very bright TV yellow with a black plate and a black P90, or you can get it in Sunburst Taut with a cream P90, both with just a single volume control. Very cool. And the best thing, they've got rid of those god awful birds on the fretboards and just gone for some little crescent moon things. So it's simple, it's understated, unlike most things that PRS do, and for that reason it's fantastic. These look absolutely brilliant. They come in at a fantastic price point. I think they're like £599, something like that.
£599, €689. What's interesting about this is exclusive to Europe.
Yeah, weird.
Right. Well,
yeah, they actually, when they did these, a little different as well, because they, when they did these last time, just over a decade ago, they were mahogany bodies. Now they've gone for Carina, so it's going to be very different. It's sort of lightweight. But that Carina with a P90 is certainly a different mix. I'm not sure how much this is going to sound like a Les Paul Junior style instrument with that sort of combination.
Carina and mahogany don't really sound that different.
You don't think?
No.
Okay.
So it should sound pretty similar. It shouldn't be...
shouldn't be the end of
no,
the world.
No, no, no. What's interesting about this is that they've done it... it's just a straight re-release, essentially. There's no significant changes made
other
by
than
the
wood.
Things. Other than the wood, sorry. But what I was kind of expecting is when I first saw this, PRS announces, you know, the one, I was thinking, well, I read SE1, but what I actually thought I read was S2-1. Because... you know, if they could put out one of these at like, I don't know, what's the S2 series, like 899 or something like that, American made, that'd be a killer guitar, wouldn't it? Mm,
yeah.
That's like gear of the year shout.
It's kind of an area that PRS don't often aim at, this sort of...
like a rock machine.
Yeah, this is a sort of everyone's guitar. At rock, a really good price.
Sorry, did you use the words rock machine?
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, just like straight up okay. Rock and roll
so
machine.
They use the word rock machine in their press release, which is where he's got that from. Yeah, he hasn't come up with that off the top of his head.
I was going to say, rock machine.
Just like a little rock machine.
Right, okay, good. Okay.
But it is.
Can you imagine if they'd done these, like, American-made, faded in the S2 range? Oh. 899, 999 maybe.
It's just not their MO though, is it?
They would buy that.
Yeah, but that'd be a cool guitar though.
Yeah, but it's not what they do.
Yeah, I mean, what about the Vela and stuff like that?
That's, I mean, the Vela is a great guitar.
I suppose.
That'd be quality. That would be, for me, that would be potential Gear of the Year candidate.
Yeah, this is...
I mean, even these will still be good.
These are definitely Gear of the Year candidates. A Les Paul Junior at 599, you know, made by PRS, a company known for extremely high quality at the affordable end right up to their expensive stuff. Hi, this is the first time I'm going to be supporting a PRS. This is a fantastic
imagine that if
guitar.
That's your pick for Gear of the Year.
I'm really excited about it. It's going to be super cool.
Where do we stand on re-releases for Gear of the Year? Because this...
I think this is different
enough. But it's current production.
This is different enough.
It's current production.
Yeah, it's current production, but...
If you just
I mean, if we've allowed, you know, Les Paul Standard 2013,
sure,
Les Paul Standard
sure,
2014.
Okay, fine.
You
know? It was 2016 that the Les Paul Standard won, wasn't it?
No, it didn't win, but it was in the... I think it might have won Best Guitar.
Oh.
But, yeah, it was... Was it Les Paul Standard or was it Les Paul Classic? No, it was Les Paul Standard. Yeah. But, yeah, these look cool.
That was a boring year, wasn't it?
You know what? I can't remember. As soon as it finishes, it's so stressful that by the time it finishes, I just blank it
out. It's gone out of my brain, yeah.
I remember that the Base 6 won the first year.
2013.
And then the... Deco won the second year,
something like that.
I think the Deco won the second year, and it came down to almost fisticuffs between with me and Mark gunning for the Soul Food, and you and the other one just desperate for the Deco to win. I was like, listen, the expensive pedals, it's just not going to catch on. It's just too, it's ridiculous.
Well, we'll be revisiting it soon enough in Gear of the Decade, Patreon exclusive series starting next year.
That was my idea.
It's going to be good.
Put that out. Nice little segue. Anyway, that is it for us here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to be continuing over on the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode, ad-free and early. $5 gets you the Patreon episode and loads more. And $10 makes you an executive producer and gets your name sung in a charming song at the end of every podcast.
What's this week's one?
I haven't done it yet. I'll do it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I like to get up, drink half a bottle of wine, and then see what happens.
You're talking about every day. You're not talking about the day you record the theme tune on. Get up, half a bottle of wine, see what happens.
That's how it goes. Anyway, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Guitar Nerds. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. You can check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/Guitar Nerds. And we're still looking for people on the Facebook group to sign up to our cool new thing that we're doing. There's a post up about it. If you're in the UK and you fancy being involved with Guitar Nerds in some capacity, find that post and sign up to that. Anyway,
I love how there's so little we can say about it, and we're telling people to sign up.
It's so
might
difficult.
Be organ harvesting.
It's
you never
so
know.
Difficult. I can't say anything more about it than that. We could well be harvesting your organs. I'm literally bound by an NDA not to tell you.
Even I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
just sign up.
Really,
it's something cool,
you guys. Yeah, it is something cool. Anyway, that's it for us this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
The Guitar Nerds podcast is coming into your ears. Here we go. Jacob McGee, Christopher Franklin, Mark is out, got wacky. Ron Boster, Stephen Berg, Robert Butterworth, Neil Middleton. Maren Beater, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Christian Lund, Hansen, Zach Martin, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Fryer, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Boyce, Chris Jacob Moore, Rob Gould, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Ramadan, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Edge, Rob Grant, Matt Rums, Dave Lee, M. James Baker, Juan Gurria, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Good, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Nosser, then Hans Ernst, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, and Chris Connors, Rob Nordwick, Ed Bentley, Steve Muggle, Carlos Mantra, Andy McKenzie, Brian Page, and Blair Toms, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Ansis, Paul Corrigan, and Will Clare. Adrian Dakin says Maggie King and Scott Gain, Sean Arbo. Christopher Wolf, my comfort on.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.